If I could just get the adults to run the offering plates like the kids do, we'd be in incredible shape. Love how they run up here. So funny. Well, good to see y'all today. Thank you. I know the service has been a little different format. It's normally a little different than this, but just how it worked out today. So, hope you found Daniel. We'll talk about standing for God. I see a generation that we need to hear that more and more, don't we? Of standing for God, standing for His truth. Not compromising to the voice of the world, not compromising to what's around us, not forming our ideology based on non-spiritual people that have no clue. It's easy to do because there's so many messages going out there. And even Christians, I'm telling you, I'm even seeing with Christians compromise that shouldn't be. Even with Christians, compromise the way they're living or the way they're thinking or even their stance. You know, one thing we do, the way people are going to see us as Christians the very most is by the way we live our lives. Not by what we tell them or preach to them or say to them, but how we live our lives. Are we people that represent the integrity of God? Are we living our lives with love, compassion, mercy, forgiveness, truth, understanding? Are we living that way? Or are we just a bunch of angry people that are trying to pour the wrath of God on unbelievers? There's a difference. We can stand for God in a way that still shows His love. We can stand for God in a way that says, you know what, you may believe your way, and that's fine. And I want to say this to us as Christians. It is not our job to try to change someone. It's our job to share the gospel. The gospel does the changing if they'll hear it. It's our job just to speak it, just to share it, just to show it, and then let the Holy Spirit do His work in growing that seed. And I see a lot of angry Christians that are standing for God in the wrong way. We need to stand for God in love and in truth. And the way we do that, like I said, is by the way we live. And we see here in the book, and this is, I know, one of Melanie's favorite stories. It's not why I picked it, but this is the story of the three Hebrew children. This is a story of three men that live in a time of, like we do in any generation, really, to a degree, of a very controlling government. This government of Persia was trying to tell the people that they had to worship a certain way, bow a certain way, do a certain thing. But three men stood up and says, no. Not me. I'm not going to do what you say. Now, I believe what the Bible says, that we honor those in authority and that we obey the laws of the land unless those laws conflict with God's word. Then we stand on God's word, church. Then it's very clear as Christians we have to obey God rather than men. Now, we have a movement, and I know our younger generation doesn't understand this. A lot of the older ones don't. I've had people leave and get mad because I bring this issue up. Because we think it's none of our business. But let me tell you what our business is. And not in a hateful way, but this is one of those things where we say, you know what, I can't change it. It's your life to a degree, but don't expect me to say it's okay. One of the issues we're facing today, as we know, is gay marriage. It's an issue many churches, especially newer churches, don't talk about because it's not part of popular pop culture kind of spiritual teaching. But we have seen now there's more than 20 states that have legalized this, that it's okay. Hey, their business. If my neighbors want to live together and they're man to man, don't affect my life. You're right. Don't affect my life whatsoever. But you can't expect me to say that I support it and that it's okay and that what you're doing is right. Because, see, we have to live by our personal convictions. If we don't live, church, by our personal convictions, we're not living at all. I mean, each of us have our own foundation. I'm certainly not going to go to my neighbor's house and throw rocks at them. I'm not going to put signs in their front yard with you know, terrible names. You know, I'm not going to make jokes with my window rolled down. Hey, little fairy, hey, I'm not going to do that. It's not my business in that degree. But what is my business is when people try to tell me, hey, you're wrong for thinking that. How can you tell me I'm wrong for thinking? It's my personal conviction. It's my personal stance. It's what I believe. And if we don't live what we believe, church, we're not living at all. We have to live what we believe no matter what anybody says, no matter what they do. How would we be? We're going to read this story. And I want you to picture today's generation because you may think this is far-fetched, but I'm just not so sure. There's not going to be a day where people that are preaching in the name of Jesus are going to be under microscopes and cameras, and they're going to be under a lot of scrutiny and saying, You can't preach in that name. You can have a religious gathering, but you got to be all inclusive. Well, if I got to be all inclusive, I'm just out. I'll go to my little cave somewhere, me and my family, and we'll just have our own devotions, and we'll stand for God. Because I can't preach something I don't believe in, and I can't stand for something I don't believe in. I've got to stand for God. That's who I believe in. God's not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the world can try to change him, but he's not changed. He's still God. Now, I understand that there's some Christians that's given Christianity a bad name because of our hate and because of the way we spew things and because, you know, and I'm telling you, that, church, there's a way to witness. And let me just tell you this. I'm going to use an example. Because I think it's, and if you've done this, don't get your feelings hurt. I'm not trying to take away your discipleship. But we have to use wisdom. We have to know our opportunities. This guy comes through my son's line. He's a cashier at Food Line. Jamie checks him out. Then he goes up to him. I mean, there's nothing laid out here. One thing is at work, right? He's working. And there's no foundation laid. I mean, he's getting his Beanie Winnies, his Cheetos, his whatever he's checking out. And then he walks up to him and he says, "Hey, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior?" Jamie's like, yeah, I kind of do. My dad's like a preacher. Okay? And you know what? Even my son, who is a Christian, that rubbed him the wrong way. That's not the way we witness. There was no opening for the Holy Spirit to even move in that situation. What if Jamie says, "No, I don't"? What is he going to do then? "Well, let me say the prayer of salvation. Ma'am, hang on just a minute. Just hang on. Put your beanie when he's back in the buggy. I got to pray for this young man. Do you accept Jesus? Now, where can we get baptized? Got some bottled water in the store?" I mean, what could he do at that point? This is what rubs people wrong. Yeah, we witness. Yes, we share the gospel. But man, we got to have a clue of when that is and when that door's open. And that door wasn't open right there. That was just somebody just, you know, trying to do in their heart what was right, but just no wisdom behind it. We have to have the right opportunity. We have to feel the Holy Spirit leading us. Now, I'll do something like this whenever I go out and eat. Well, not every time, but sometimes I'll leave a card, one of my church cards, with my ticket and my bill, and says, "You're invited. Come see us. Love to have you." Leave a card. They've got it. They got a seed. And there are times I will say, we'll get talking, and if I feel led, do you have a church you go to? "No, I don't." Why? But you got to wait on those moments. You know, you just can't use foolishness. And so, anyway, I just want to share that. There's some people that stand for God in a way that turns people away. You know, they're like a caveman. "Captain Caveman." Y'all remember that cartoon? And we're gruff with it. And people are like, "Man, I don't know what you got, because you're weird." I mean, we can witness in a way that's with love and compassion and understanding, but at the same time, not compromise our truth. If someone would ask me, I don't care who they were, if someone asked me, "Pastor, look, I'm with a woman, and I'm a woman, and I'm gay. How do you feel about that?" Here's my response. "Well, you know what? I care for you and the person you're with. I love humanity. I love people. I truly love people. And what do you think about it, Pastor?" "Well, according to the Word of God, which is my governing compass, it's sin." I mean, it's as simple as that. It's sin. It's not the way it's supposed to be. But what's happened is we've lost this. Some of us, this used to be our governing measure. This is what we lived our lives by. I mean, we really lived by it. But little by little, we've let the world chip away at us to where, and I understand even my daughter who's in college, she's like, I mean, I'm only 20-some years out of high school, okay? Just 20-some years removed. And there was not one person I ever remember in high school that openly said they were gay. That openly ever said it. My daughter goes to college where she's like one of the few straight ones. You know what I'm saying? And she's like, "Dad, it's just such a normal part." See, that's exactly the frog in the pot bowl thing, right? Slow bowl. You put a frog in the pot when it's alive. Just turn it up a little bit. Nice little bath. Ribbit. Feeling good. You turn the heat up a little bit more. Getting a little warmer in here. But I can still handle it. So you're adjusting to that. Then you turn the heat up a little bit more. And before you know it, it's croaked. And never knew it died. Because slowly you turn the heat up. That's what's happened to sin. Sin slowly creeps in and slowly turns the heat up to where we learn to accept things we never would have accepted before. Ever would have accepted that. My daughters know, and my son knows, my children know, I do not support people living together, not married. And if my daughter called me and says, "Dad, I moved in with Johnny." No, Johnny's here today, right? Okay. Moved in with Johnny. I'm going to still love her. I'm going to still hold her and hug her and rub her all over. You know, she's my daughter. But I'm sure not going to endorse it and say, "Honey, you're doing the right thing." Because she's going to know how I feel. Because we've taught our children that. There's things we have to stand for in times of hardship. And these three Hebrew children stood. Let's read so we can get y'all out of here. I know we're running a little bit over. But we'll start with verse 12, and I'll shorten it for time's sake. Daniel 3, verse 12. Now, what had happened is King Nebuchadnezzar built this big old statue. They say it's about 90 feet tall, so you can probably see it from miles away. It was made of wood overlaid in gold. It was an image of a man. And he was commanding everybody that when they heard the music to bow down. Now, let's put it in today's perspective. Every one of us, I mean, if you got any gumption at all, when we hear the Pledge of Allegiance, you stand up. It's just your nature. You hear that song played, everybody stands up and does this, or, you know, if they have any respect. So think about this. This was not just some wild music playing. This was music of some sort that cued them to know this is worship time. Something's being played to make them realize this is when we bow the statue. So King Nebuchadnezzar made a law that says, bow down. Anyone that doesn't bow down to this 90-foot statue of man, when I play this music, they're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. So here we pick it up in verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded you. They serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you will fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast that same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Let me stop here and say this. There are people and religions. There's that pastor, the last I heard, is still in the prison of Iran. Because he converted from Islam to Christianity, and they arrested him and have tortured him. And they're telling him, all you have to do is revoke your Christian faith. Just say you're a Muslim, and we'll let you go. But he's not. He's got a wife and two or three kids back home in Idaho, Utah, somewhere out there. And he's in prison just because he's a Christian. Let's pose this question. Say they started a martial law in this nation, where they said, "We're closing down any Christian churches. Anybody that has a cross anywhere in the church, anybody that uses the Holy Bible, anybody that uses the name of Jesus, those churches are going to be guarded and closed down. And if you come on the property of those churches to try to get in, we will arrest you." This is kind of a scenario. What would you do? Really think about that. What would you do? Would you march forward and say, "You know what? You're not keeping me out of my church"? Or would you stay home and hide in fear? Now, many of you have said, "If I ever got arrested, you come help me." I think Karina was one of them. Let's just test that theory and see who'd be there for me. I don't know that day's coming prophetically, but I sure wouldn't bet against it. Because our culture is shifting so fast. Church is shifting so fast. What used to be called good is now, they call it evil. What's evil is called good. I mean, the Bible says that there are things that shouldn't even be mentioned among the saints. But yet we see a world that's living their lives totally apart from what God's Word says. This used to be our moral compass. And this is what I try to teach my family, my children, that my ideology is based not on politics. It's not based on the current tide or what's moving in the 21st century. My ideology is based on God's Word. It's based on what He says. Because, see, I answer to Him. I believe respecting the law. I believe if I'm going 70 miles an hour and a 45, I deserve a ticket. I deserve that. I've broken the law. I understand that. But if an official says, James, you're being sued because two men came to you wanting you to marry them and you refused them, so you're being sued. Either I'm going to sue you or you're going to marry them. Then I got a decision to make, don't I? Okay, do I obey the law of North Carolina that says that same-sex couples can be married? Or do I obey God's law and says I can't do that? That's what it's going to come to, I'm telling you. And there's probably already been ministers sued in other states, probably, but you don't hear about it. So this is where we got to say, okay, God, I'm going on a limb. I'm going to trust you. I could lose my home, my car. Me and Melanie really will be in that cardboard box together. But you know what? I got to stand for what you tell me because you're my boss. God, you're king. So here the king challenged them. Said, bow down, everything is good. If not, who's going to deliver you? I love what they say in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, O king Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. No, we don't have to think about it. That's what he's saying. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. You talking about some confidence in who they served. See, you got to know who you serve. You got to know. You know, if any of you, I don't care if you're a sports fan or not, everybody's heard of Michael Jordan. If any of who said that? If any of you could spend a day with Michael Jordan, you went everywhere he went, you'd be walking like this. Hey, Mikey. Don't call me Mike. Oh, sorry, Mr. Jordan. You'd be walking around with so much confidence. You'd be walking to a restaurant. Look how I'm walking in. I mean, you'd just be like so proud. You'd be like, I got Michael taking care of me, man. He's taking care of my bill, and he's riding in his car, and we're shooting some hoops. I'm playing one-on-one, and I scored a basket, and he scored 100. But I scored one against him. I mean, you'd be so confident because of who you was with. You'd be like, want everybody to look at you and so proud of who you was with. Man, look, man, I'm a Michael Jordan. Man, we rolling again. We jam into a CD in his car. I'm in the front seat with number 23. Do you feel me, church? That's how we ought to feel with God. Man, I'm serving God. God's in me and I'm in Him. I know what God can do for me. I know God can deliver me. I know God can pay my bills. God can protect me all around. That God can make a way when there is no way. That when it looks impossible, God shows up and says, just let me be God. Let me just show up and show off who I am. Because I am your Lord, God Almighty, who is able to do far and above all that you ever hoped for or could ever even expect or imagine. I'm that God. I'm still the same God that can heal the sick and raise the dead. I'm still the same God that can restore your mind, restore your marriage, restore your finances, save your children. I'm still that same God. Be confident. And see, these three Hebrew children, they knew who they served. They didn't even hesitate. God can take care of me. God deliver me. So, king, do what you got to do. I'm not changing. I'm just not changing, no matter what you say. You can play that music all day long and try to force me on the ground, but I'm not giving my heart to that statue. And I'm not giving my allegiance to that idol that you made, because I know who I serve. Verse 17. If so be our God, oh, we never read that. 18. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We're not going to worship what you've done. Do whatever you got to do to us. We're making a stand for God. We're standing for Him. Do or die. I'm standing for God. Now, hold your place there, and you got to turn. Just stay there. But I'm going to go to Acts right here. Look what Acts chapter 5 says, verse 27. When they had brought them and set them before the council, they brought some of the apostles because they were doing the Jesus thing. They set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straightly command, don't you love this? Did we not command you that you should not teach in this name. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with all your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We're going to obey God. You can't command me not to teach in his name. Are you serious? It's like all these schools are telling kids they can't pray or use the name of Jesus or Heavenly Father or anything related to Christ in their speeches or prayers or ceremonies or whatever. I know Melanie got the honor of her graduating class, nursing class, to say the invocation prayer. And, of course, she closed out in Jesus' name. And they didn't talk to you about that or anything, did they? That's right. That's been how many, 4 or 5 years ago? So after Mally prayed, they've not done it again. What does that tell you? I forgot about that. You did tell me that. They've not done a prayer in a graduation since. Mally was the last one to do a prayer at the nursing ceremony 5 years ago. You think it scares some people? Or hey, better yet, y'all ready for this? It offended them. How dare you use the name of Jesus? My Lord. But you know what? Any other doctrine would have been okay. Any other would have been more acceptable than the name of Jesus. There's no truth in it and no power in it. There's no power, no other name. I mean, you can call out any of the name all you want. Mary did a great presentation. I hate you. If you weren't here Sunday night, you missed it. It was absolutely incredible. She talked about the true beliefs of Islam, Hinduism. There's another one, wasn't there? A third one. Buddhism. Was it Buddhism? Or Hindu? Which one was about all the... That was Hinduism. Yeah, Hindus. You know what the Hinduism teaches? There's a God in every object. This offering plate, there's a God in it. That pillar, there's a God. That monitor, there's a God in it. When they built their temple, she explained that the reason they don't use nails in a Hindu temple is because they don't want to hurt the gods that are in the stone. And they believe in over 350 different gods. Now, if Melly had prayed a Hindu kind of prayer or something in that relation, probably no problem. But see, we know there's no power in that. We know there's no God in this offering plate. A lot of times there ain't much money in either. But there ain't no God in this offering plate. I mean, that's an object. It's an order. This is an inanimate, is that the right word? Thank you. Object. No God in it. But that name scares people. And so you see high schools don't use that name because we got to respect everybody. Well, what about respecting God? Where does that come in? Where does it come into where we realize, look, I'd rather honor God than honor you, Mr. Principal. I'm sorry. I'd rather honor you, God, than honor these people that... And I'm going to tell you what, people, that's how we share our faith, is we stand for God. And we're truthful and we're honest and we live out what we believe. Regardless of the consequence, we live it out. Now, go back to Daniel. Pick up a verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar. He was full of fury. I'm sure he was. They wouldn't want to do what he said. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace even 7 times more than it was to be heated. He commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and cast them into this burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The guards in the army actually were killed by putting them in there. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You ever felt bound in the middle of your storm? What's going to happen? When you are bound and cannot move, when you are trapped and there's no way out, you see no escape, look up because here's your help. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, did we not cast three men into the fire? They answered and said, yes, king, true, O king. He answered and says, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Hallelujah! God showed up in the midst of that fire.
They weren't alone because they stood for truth. I'm telling you, God is waiting for a people to say, Lord, I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you. You stood for me, I'll stand for you. You didn't give up on me, I'm not giving up on you. Let hell and fire come, but God, I will remain faithful to who you called me to be, and that is a child of the living King. I am blood-bought and believe that all of my days. Stand for the Lord and be proud of that. I mean, be proud. I mean, it's like we're wearing a crown to know that I'm crowned with God's glory everywhere that I go. I've been crowned with God. And we should be proud that we're a Christian. We should be proud we serve a King. We should be proud that we're saved by grace. We should be proud that we are part of His kingdom and not ashamed and not watering it down and compromise because people tell us that we're wrong and because we have people tell us there's other ways and other avenues and other streets and, just believe your way. Look, we have to stand. You know the old country song, don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Is that not the truth? You know the reason that all of us were this way? You know the reason why our teenage years were so hard? Is because we don't yet know what we're standing for. We're trying to figure it out. One day we're standing for this. The next day we're standing for this. The next day we're standing for this. I mean, we got four different stances between Monday and Friday. We're changing continually. Teenagers are continually changing. They're continually evolving because they're trying to form what they believe in. They're trying to figure out I've heard what mom and dad have said. I've heard what the preacher has said. I heard what my grandparents have said. But what do I believe for me? And so all those years are trying to form that. And that's why they're all over the place. And that's why when you're young, you make stupid mistakes because you've not yet really got a foundation of who you are and what you believe in. If we don't believe in something, we will fall for anything that comes along because we don't stand. We have young women that don't wait for the right man, so they fall for the wrong ones. That's just how it is. Because they won't wait on God. Young men the same way, get the wrong wild women. I'm going to tell you, women ain't no better than men today. They're out there. I just know if I was young again, I'd be in trouble. You too, Kevin. Gotcha. Kevin's like, man, I wish I was young again. I mean, you got women that are so aggressive, that are so wild, that are so immoral, that have lost all their ladiness, that have lost all their class of what it means to be a woman. Being a woman's so beautiful. Women, make your men work for you. Don't just give yourself over. Make them work for you. You're a prize. The Bible talks about in Proverbs 31, the prize of a godly woman, a good woman. Make them work for you. Don't just so freely, oh, he's got good eyes. Look at his shoulders. Oh, he just melt like a and he's a scumbag is what he is. But you can't see past the shoulders and blue eyes. He's the Gaston. Remember Gaston in Beauty and the Beast. Belle didn't want Gaston. See, she looked beyond the beast and saw the real man. Instead, looking at the outside and seeing the real beast inside. I'm not the prettiest guy in the world, I know that. But but God blessed me pretty good. Everybody always says, how'd you get something like that? And I'm like, why didn't I always look this way? I'm your beast, yeah. I'm Manly's beast, yes. I didn't always look this way. I used to have the mullet and muscles and the bleached hair and the tan skin. All right. Hard to believe I used to look that way. Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, now all the official people were at this thing too. Let me tell you that. So imagine this. Imagine you're in Washington, D.C., okay, and you got all the congressmen, all the senators, all the Obama administration, all the mayors, all the governors. You got the officials of the officials in this one place, and they're seeing this. I mean, can you imagine this? They were gathered together. They saw these men upon whose bodies the fire... Is that all I got? Oh. Had no power. The fire had no power. It had no power because they stood for God. And they said, God, you're my power. And you take care of us. Imagine this. I mean, they were in, and this is not a made-up story. I don't care what people say. We got to quit listening to that stuff, too, where people are saying, you're so an educated preacher. Don't you know these were just allegorical stories? They were stories to point examples. These events really didn't happen. Well, let me ask you this. It's in three simple words. Were you there? No. So if nothing else, how do you know it didn't happen? Because I sure wasn't there, and y'all wasn't there, and it's in God's word. So I believe it happened. It had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed. They were in the middle of this fire, and there wasn't even a singeing. That's the power of God. They're completely protected. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed on them. Think about this. I've used an example before. You go to a gas station where people have been smoking, come back out in the car, you're like, what in the world? They were smoking in there. You pick it up just that quick, don't you? Here they were in the middle of this burning, flaming fire, and they didn't even smell like smoke. There was nothing on them because God had them. Then Nebuchadnezzar, now he's changed his tune. He spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. Trusted in him. This king was humbled, realizing they withstood me. And look what God did. God showed up. They have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Yeah. And their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Hallelujah. Even this idolatry pagan king saw the hand of God and declared publicly, openly, in front of all these people. I mean, can you imagine one of our presidents coming out on that TV and saying, I was wrong? Exactly. That's never going to happen. I was wrong. Here this king says, it's what he's saying really is, I was wrong for doing this. And so anybody that accuses them now and comes against their God, I'm going to cut them in pieces and destroy you. God got the glory because they stood for him. That's how God gets glory. We stand for him. We just stand for him. Now, hopefully none of us will be in a situation where it's this dramatic. But how many times are we in situations where we subtly compromise? We don't really stand for God. Maybe it's in the workplace. Somebody asks you a question or somebody says something to you, and you don't really witness the way you could witness. It could be something as simple as this. You're with a group of your friends at work. You go out for lunch. And normally you say the blessing, but with them you don't. You just start eating because, well, I'm a little embarrassed to kind of bow my head because they're going to be looking at me. Do we ever do that? Isn't that a subtle way of kind of not standing? It's just kind of a subtle way of not really standing. Because if you believed that you should pray for your food every time you eat, that doesn't mean just when you're with your family. That means every time you eat. And I know it can be awkward. I've been there. I've been out many times with people, you know, during the workplace and different things. You know, and I don't, I'm not at Wendy's with people I work with and say, attention, quiet, shh, shh. I got to say my blessing. Oh, Heavenly Father, God Almighty, bless this double cheese with pickles. And Lord, bless all those at this table, these heathens that don't know you, that just chomp their food without praying. God, touch them and redeem them by your blood. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. We don't do that. But you know what we should do? We should still, in silence, drop our head and visibly show we're not ashamed to thank God for our food. Just a subtle way of how we stand. There's many ways we stand. One way we stand is telling the truth. I told you before, a Christian lost a very good friend for telling the truth. Very good friend. She's going through an issue. She asked Christian how she felt about what she was doing. Christian was honest, says, I don't agree with it. And she defriended her. Friends for years. Dropped her like a rock. It hurt Christian. She cried. She grieved it for a while. And she went back to her and said, look, you asked me what I thought. So I told you. That's what friends do, right? Do you know what? I was proud of Christian. She stood her ground. And God gave her other friends and new friends and more friends. But that's how it is. If you really stand for God, you got to stand for God and tell him the truth. And don't water it down because of who you're dealing with. And look, don't change because of who you're with either. You know, we as adults are as bad as young people for that. We change how we act by who we're with. We kind of change our behavior a little bit and modify to who we're with. Be you. Stand, be you. Be true to who God's called you to be. If you're a Christian, be a Christian all the time, not just on Sunday and Wednesday. Be a Christian in the workplace. Be a Christian in the courthouse. Be a Christian at the factory. Be a Christian at the auto auction. Be a Christian at the eye center. You know, be a Christian for the state. Be a Christian wherever you're at.